I want us to be thinking about the battle, okay? You know, today's Memorial Day, and we talk about those who have fallen in battle, right? In service to our nation. And there's a bigger battle that's going on all the time, right? And, you know, I don't want to diminish that, because this is a wonderful day to remember that. Brother Harold was on the very same wavelength, so I think the Holy Spirit's talking right now. And he's wanting us to remember that there's a bigger battle going on, okay? And we know that ultimately, Jesus, right, is the one who came forth victorious in winning that battle against sin. We had there's power in the blood is our opening song this morning before Sunday school. And as we think about that, power was over sin, over death, over the power of the enemy in our lives. And it's just amazing how Jesus won that victory. And so we do memorialize him today as being one who gave his life in that. But even along with that, we know he rose from the dead. He's at the right hand of the Father right now. He is totally victorious. The next few weeks, we're going to be talking about the church, about his body. And we've got some different messages that are prepared for that. And so I want everybody to be prepared to try to be consistent in the next few weeks so that you can get the complete teaching on that. But before we do, I really want to think about those who have gone on ahead of us. Because, you see, along with Jesus dying on the cross and winning the battle, we memorialize him always. We want to remember our brothers and sisters who are persecuted. And as we look, you know, we've got a day of the month that we really focus on the modern-day persecuted church and different ways that we can pray for them. I heard there was another attack in Egypt where they attacked a bus. You know, guys, let's face it. There's a lot of people who are suffering a lot of things in our world today. Do you know there were over 100,000 Christians that were martyred for the faith last year worldwide? Those are just the ones we know of. But I want to remember that it wasn't any different in the Bible days either. So whenever I think about people that have gone ahead of us in the faith, one of them that just is so inspirational to me is the Apostle Paul. Are you guys inspired by the Apostle Paul as well? I mean, like, whenever we read the letters in the New Testament, it just amazes me how influential that he was, and how God used him in such a powerful, powerful way. What do you think his life was like? Whenever I was thinking about Joseph this morning in the Old Testament, and how it says the Lord was with him even though he was sold into slavery. And then, not only, if y'all know that story about Joseph, one of the 12 brothers of Israel, one of the 12 sons of Israel, 12 brothers there. He was sold by his brothers into slavery. He was sent into Egypt, and he was bought by somebody in Egypt. Then he was lied about and thrown into prison, and it still says, and the Lord was with him and showed him mercy. So like he was an Old Testament hero of the faith that was part of this battle, we got to remember what's happening with this battle. So this battle that we're talking about is not against flesh and blood, is it? Can anybody tell me where we find in the Scripture information about this battle? Ephesians. Yeah, so let's turn to Ephesians, okay? We're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to read just a little bit about this battle. Who wrote to us about this battle? The Holy Spirit inspired it through a particular author. Can anybody tell me who that author was? Paul, the same gentleman that I'm talking about, that's such an inspiration. He's the one who explains to us about this battle and what it's like. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay, Jesus ultimately was victorious over the power, but you know the devil, he's still ranging around like a roaring lion, looking at who he might be able to deceive and in so doing destroy, devour them. Okay? His main tool is deception now. And so we need to understand the Bible is telling us we need to be active to stand against the wiles of the devil. In verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So we give thanks for those who have put themselves in the place of danger for our country in physical battles in this weekend and especially tomorrow. But guys, we also need to understand there's a spiritual battle that's behind all that. Okay? So the wars that we see that are being fought and those things that are happening all over this world, guys, there's a spiritual power that is behind all that. He's using, he and his demons, we know it's Satan and his demons, are using people as pawns in these battles. They really have a bigger idea in mind. In fact, there's a battle that's being constantly fought for the hearts and the minds of the people in our own nation. Amen? I mean, we think physically is the number one thing that we need to be protected in, and a lot of times that's how we get focused on our children too. But guys, I'm going to tell you, the number one battle is over the hearts and souls. Because, you know, the physical right here, we know that's temporary anyways, but let's face it, the soul is eternal. That is forever and ever and ever. And we have these people who have gone ahead of us in the faith that should be our examples as we look in Scripture, that I want to thank God for them today. And Paul is one of them. Let's see what else he has to say about this battle. He says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." So what's the evil day? Anybody ever thought about that? It's just kind of in there. Is it just one day? Yeah, he actually says in another place, the days are evil. And I think whenever he's talking about the evil day here, it's when Satan comes against you in a big way. Okay? And so like for me, that might be multiple days in a week. Or it could be just one day every now and then and I really feel a particular serious attack. But guys, that's the time you need to be prepared for. Do you wait till then to try to get prepared? Do they prepare... Do they take firemen and say, "Don't bother with any preparation or any exercise on this. You'll figure it out when you see the fire. You'll figure out how to pull those hoses out and how to get that spray into the fire in the right way." You know, guys, if they don't do their job right, a lot of people can get hurt. So what do? They prepare constantly for that. Okay, how about our military? The military is all about preparation, preparedness, constantly preparing for that one day that they might be called up and they have to go. How about our police officers and all of our first responders, those who are paramedics and things like that? They take their training ahead of time. So guys, so do we need to do that so that we're prepared for that evil day, for whenever Satan comes against us in a powerful way. I can tell you, it won't be, if you live very long, it won't be just one day either. Okay? It's going to be multiple times. You know, I remember asking my pastor one time, I was preparing for ministry and I was under a lot of spiritual attack and it was getting really heavy on me. And I asked him, I said, "Is it going to be like this all the time?" You know, privately. I said, "You know, seriously, because like this is getting pretty bad. I don't know how much longer I can just take this." And he said, "Well, good news is it won't be like this all the time." You know, he'll kind of give up in certain areas. But the bad news is he'll just try to figure out a different way to get at you. So you got to be prepared. And so how do we get prepared? And literally, it's in the Word of God. Guys, I'm just going to tell you, I have a wonderful area where I kind of look over the lives of a whole lot of people. And the ones that are making it through these evil days are the ones that are in the Word of God. If you're not in the Word of God, you're not going to be prepared. You're not going to make it. At least through that battle. He's going to really wreak havoc in your lives. The ones who are victorious out of those are the ones that have got this book open and they're going through it daily. It's really important that we do that. So, this is what he's telling us to do, and he's going to teach us about this armor. And he says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God," verse 13, "that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance," that means to continue on, "and supplication for all the saints." Supplication is heartfelt prayer. Really crying out, as you are going through this time, you're also praying for other saints from your heart. and for me that utterance may be given to me, this is Paul speaking, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. This is a man who most likely is sitting in prison while he's writing this letter, and he's saying, pray for me that I be bold, that I continue to be bold. He was a man who had seen many, many days of suffering. I want to look at 2 Corinthians now, just a little bit more focusing on Paul. We focus there on the battle, where the battle is. We can see the battle is not against flesh and blood. The battle is against these principalities, these rulers of wickedness that are working behind the scenes all the time. They're trying to cause disunity among people. They are constantly stirring up trouble, even in our own lives, trying to cause discouragement, depression, and all these different things. Now I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to look at the man who wrote those things down. The man who actually said what the battle is like and how we guard ourselves during the battle had a lot of experience on being in the battle. And so I really want us to look at what he had to say here. This speaks of some of the battle scars that he actually had, and it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. As we memorialize, remember Paul today, let's look at verse 22. He's talking about who he is as far as a person and who he is in the Lord, some of the things, some of the trials that he went through. There were some people who were making accusations about the validity of his ministry in Corinth. They had a lot of problems in Corinth. They were very rebellious, and they were questioning his authority. So he goes on to say, are they Hebrews, these other people that are putting themselves up against him? He said, so am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. He's being a little bit facetious there. He's sarcastic, little sarcasm he's using in this chapter. But now he gets real serious. And we're going to talk about how he is so much more. He says, in stripes above measure. What's a stripe? Can anybody tell me what a stripe is? I used to get them from my dad every now and then. They came at me with the belt. These were much more serious. They would have used a rod of some sort that would have left bloody stripes across his back, okay? Or maybe a whip of some sort. So he says, yeah, I'm more, I got more stripes than anybody else. He goes on to say, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. Y'all hear about the crucifixion where Jesus was whipped with cat nine tails and it had pieces of glass and bone on the end of it. It was a particular kind of whip that was made to torture people. I want you to understand it was a methodical process that the Romans had that they had taught even to the Jews, and everybody had learned from this that they knew how to do it exactly, that on the 40th stripe, the 40th lash, it was certain death to the individual. Okay? So do you understand what he was saying? 5 times they beat him, one lash shy of death. So I want you to understand what he was getting at here. They understood what he was getting at because they understood the culture. Everybody knew what that meant. So 5 times they beat him, one beat shy of death. 3 times, he says in verse 25, I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I had been in the deep. You know, the one time he was talking about being stoned, that doesn't mean he got high on drugs, by the way. Believe it or not, there's some people in our culture that get confused on that. He was stoned. They pick up big rocks, and everybody gathered around him, and they threw big rocks at him until they thought he was dead. And in this particular, we read about this and I don't remember the exact city, but we read about it in the book of Acts where they actually drug him outside the city and left him there for dead. They thought they had finished the job. Okay, so we need to understand what Paul went through. I'm not saying this to be shocking. I'm saying this because we're going to memorialize. We're going to remember one of our fallen heroes of the faith who went before us. And he is the one that we get all of our instruction from. that the Holy Spirit used in the New Testament, 2/3 of the New Testament of instruction was given through Paul. This is the kind of price he paid for us to have the battle plan today. And I am so dearly grateful. Let's see what else he did. 3 times he was beaten with rods. 1 he was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 and a day I have been in the deep, floating around in the ocean, I guess. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea. What does peril mean? It's like a dangerous situation that was almost certain death. In perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. There were people who seemed to be Christians, who were planted in the church. Jesus called them weeds among the wheat, who literally would persecute Paul and try to ensnare him and get him caught. In weariness, in toil, verse 27. In sleeplessness often. Have you ever had a sleepless night over things that you were in travail over, suffering over? How do you like it? I don't like having sleepless nights. How about the rest of you guys? Paul said he had those often. In hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily. This is it, guys. The deep concern for all the churches. He suffered so we could have these letters today. I want you to understand that. Without that deep concern, Paul would have never written these letters to these churches that we call the books of the Bible, the New Testament today. It's a beautiful thing that God did through him, but there was a price he paid for these things. He says, "Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity." The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor, under Artus, the king, was guarding the city of Damascenes with a garrison, desiring to arrest me, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. Guys, that was his very first thing that happened to him as a Christian. They had to make him escape through the wall of the city after he'd had his great experience with Jesus and become a believer and started speaking boldly in that city. The next thing you know, they got to sneak him out of the city because everybody's wanting to kill him. That's how he lived his whole Christian life after that. Man, I just want to stop and say thank you for our dear brother Paul today. Let's pray. Dear God, we just want to thank you for our dear brother who has gone before us, Lord. I feel such a connection with him. After having read the words you spoke through him in so many of these letters in to the churches in the Bible, the letters of Romans, both letters to the Corinthians, the letter to Galatia, the church in Galatia, the letter to the Ephesians, Lord, the church in Ephesus that we just read from, the letter to the Philippian church. Lord, I just want to thank you. The letter to the church in Colossae, all of these were written by Paul's very own hands. The letter to the Thessalonians, the 2 letters to the Thessalonians, the letter to Timothy, the 2 letters that we find there, the letter to Titus and Philemon. Oh, wow, Lord, what treasure we have because of the work that you did through this man. And Lord, to think he laid his life down for the gospel, and eventually it would come to the point of his martyrdom, but not until you said it was time. Lord, I want us to take heart from the life of dear Paul. I want you to bless us to remember him always and to be thankful, Lord, for his contribution that he made to help guide us. And Lord, please bless us to have the same kind of bold faith that our dear brother had. What an amazing faith that he exhibited in our presence, Lord. So many more things that he did than what we are probably even aware of. But Lord, I just want to thank you for his life today. Lord, you have done an awesome thing in giving us him. And not only him, but so many others. So I want to thank you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, we're going to end by reading just a little bit more in the book of Hebrews. I want you to turn to Hebrews with me. This is the faith chapter, and it lists a whole lot of the different people that we're inspired by because of their faith. Guys, I want you to understand what faith is. It's verse 11. We get to see it lived out in some of these people's lives. But let's look at verse 11 or verse 1 of chapter 11 in Hebrews. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is an important thing, guys, to understand what faith is. You're not going to get to see the fulfillment of everything that God calls you to hope for in this life. Okay? And he gives us these examples as we look on down the line. Verse 2. And by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds are framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Okay? So we don't get to see God on His throne all the time, but what we do get to see is what He made, the evidence of it. Okay? Same way with the way we live our faith. All right? Verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, still being dead, speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Guys, if I hear nothing else, I want to hear someday that my life, that I please God. Amen? Isn't that like just the greatest thing to hope for? And he was able to hear that. He was taken up in a special way. Verse 6, but without faith, I want you to underline this verse if you don't mind marking in your Bible. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now we're going to get a list of all these different patriarchs of the faith that went before us, because I want you to be inspired and to remember them whenever you face trials of your own types. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive it as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in the tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him, God, faithful, who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky, in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed them, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Do you feel inspired by that? The people who went before us, who mapped out the way, who showed us the way, who died never having seen the promise fulfilled, but they continued to believe. I feel inspired by that myself. He goes on, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and that they were afraid, not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies and with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, all also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of the lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. Yet you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Guys, let me tell you something. I just did what every preacher says shouldn't be done. I spent a long time reading a full section of Scripture. But guys, that's what feeds our souls. Not my opinion on it. Not your opinion on it. But what it says. And yes, we have opinions and they come into play sometimes. But I want you to know all those other people fought the battle. They didn't get the full prize in this life. But they passed on into glory, and we've got the Bible to tell us so. Guys, be inspired. Stay in the battle. Remember those who went before us, and remember those who are fighting right alongside of us right now in the spiritual battle. We are the army of God, and we're worldwide, and Satan's coming against us, but he don't win. We just need to keep our eyes on the Lord. He went before us. He cleared the way, and he set up his church. And for the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about the church. But I felt like God said, start it off pointing at me and those who have gone on before us. Praise God. Let our faith be strengthened, because without faith, we can't please God. And man, do I ever want to please God. Amen. Do you want to please God today? Let's just submit our hearts to Him today. Maybe it means unto salvation for you. Maybe you're just realizing, man, Jesus is it, and I haven't surrendered my heart to Jesus fully. Need to do it. Maybe it's, man, I just need to surrender everything, honestly. There's parts of my life I'm holding back. Maybe it's one particular thing or one particular person that's on your heart right now. God calls you to bring it to the altar, I suggest you do so, because that's done in faith. Sometimes we don't because we say, what will people think of me? Is that faith? That's fear. I want you to be led by faith in your daily walk with Christ. Amen? Amen. So let me pray for you, and we're going to have a time of invitation, an opportunity for you to bring whatever prayers you have. Dear Father, we come to you today. Thank you for all of that great cloud of witnesses that's gone on before us. Lord, I don't know how much they can see us from heaven right now, but I know we can see them. We can see their lives. We can see their examples. We can see and be inspired by their faith. God, give me that kind of faith. That's the kind of faith I got to have to finish this race. So Lord, let me lay aside the sin and all that stuff that weighs me down, all those unnecessary things in my life, and let me look to Jesus, the author and the perfecter, the finisher of my faith. Lord, you are it. I submit myself to you today. Let us all submit ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.
You all stand, please.
Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come, into thy freedom, gladness, and light. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my sickness, into thy health, out of my want, and into thy wealth. Out of my sin and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my shameful failure and loss, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come, into the glorious gain of thy cross. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of earth's sorrows into thy bow, out of life's storms and into thy calm, out of distress to jubilant psalm, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of unrest and arrogant pride, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come, into thy blessed will to abide, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of myself to dwell in thy love, out of despair into raptures above, upward for hay on wings like a dove, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the fear and dread of the tomb, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come, into the joy and light of thy throne, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the depths of ruin untold, into the peace of thy sheltering fold, ever thy glorious face to behold, Jesus, I come to thee.
We got so much of our focus on are really things that are going to burn up, right? They're very temporary. So let's be inspired today to keep our eyes on the things that last forever. What things last forever? Our soul and the people around us, their souls, right? And beyond that, sorry, We're not taking our cars and our houses and all that stuff with us, right? I always said that you never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul. None of those guys that we just read about took their belongings with them, okay? In our culture, I've seen them try to stuff the caskets full of stuff, you know? Lottery tickets, beer. I even heard a joke about a guy that repaid somebody with a check and put it in his casket, the debt that he owed. That seemed kind of rough, didn't it? But somebody tried to correct me on this. They did show me a Facebook of a hearse that was pulling a U-Haul, but I'm pretty sure it didn't have a dead person in it. Somebody else bought it. So, anyway, but what I'm getting at, you get it. We're not taking none of this with us. So let's focus on the stuff that really matters. Okay? Do we have any birthdays?
Birthdays. Anniversaries.